There may be of some of you who haven't been here before now in this series. So let me just real quickly review what we've talked about. In our first week of the series, we basically asked the question, why pray? Because there's just no way that we're going to work hard at something as challenging as prayer unless we're convinced that it's worth our while, that it's important to us. And we talked about why it is important both to us and to God. And then in week two, we tried to get a more accurate mental image of the God to whom we pray. You see, all of us, when it comes to prayer, we have these theological or these emotional or experiential objections to prayer. But when you see God as he really is, those things pretty much melt away. And then last week, we looked together at what Jesus taught about prayer. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that's more refreshing than that, because he really helps us to get rid of all the excess baggage that so often comes with prayer. And he teaches us how to just talk to God with sincerity, simplicity, expectancy, audacity, and tenacity. So if you missed any of those messages, please go back and try to catch up. Now today, I think is going to be the most practical part of the series. It's just so down to earth, the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how to stay focused when we're praying to God. Please tell me that I am not the only one who is easily distracted when I try to talk to God. There is a hymn with the lyrics, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And those lyrics are not about prayer, but they could be, because I don't think there's any spiritual activity that brings out my ADHD more than prayer does. I actually found a little movie trailer that kind of symbolizes my struggle with prayer. Watch this.
I protect the innocent.
We owe everything to him.
And in my brave but noble quest for justice, nothing will distract me.
Oh.
Yep, that's pretty much my prayer life right there. Why is it that staying focused when we're praying is so hard to do? I know it's not because we don't want to pray. I think most of us, certainly if we're Christians and we appreciate what Jesus has done for us, we want to have a close relationship with God. We want to be able to have an undistracted time of intimate communication with the Lord. But there are all kinds of different factors that kind of work against us. One is the fact that prayer is an activity that does not involve our senses. I mean, we can't see or hear or touch God. And so when we're talking to him and we see or we hear or we touch something else, it's easy just to be drawn toward that distraction. And then there's the fact that so much of our life is lived at such high RPMs that our brain just can't slow down enough to do nothing but pray. Because every time we pause, during the time that we are praying, these other thoughts come flooding in and they fill that gap and they just take us away. And I'm sure that the reality of spiritual battle is a factor. When we actually have a spiritual enemy who knows that prayer is like the most powerful thing that we can do to build God's kingdom and to destroy his kingdom. And so he'll do anything to get us off track. But whatever the reasons, I think most of us would admit that staying focused during prayer is a real challenge, right? Is that right? Does anybody else struggle with this? If not, we can just close in prayer and I'll go try to get this right on my own. We're going to try to address this problem head on. And I just want to tell you up front what I struggled with in this message, besides the fact that I don't do everything that I'm going to tell you to do all the time. That was a big part of it. But also, it's just so, so practical. I went to a pastor's group one time, just a group of 12 pastors, and we met once a year just for a couple of days to talk about ministry. And on this one particular year, there was a consultant that was brought in. And he was a friend of one of the other pastors, and so he came for free. And I found out that typically, this guy, it costs like multiple thousands of dollars per person to get in this guy's presence when he does his consulting. I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. And then during the 2 days that we were there, the stuff he shared, every time he said something, I just thought, well, duh, that's not profound at all. And finally, I asked myself the question, am I doing this stuff? And I actually went home and actually, for the first time, usually I go to a conference or something like that, I come home and I don't do any of this stuff. It's not practical at all. But this time I'm like, okay, I'll do what this guy suggested, and it changed everything. Sometimes just doing the basic things is all that it takes to take us to the next level. And I think this stuff today is basic but super important. So here's the first thing, and I want to suggest to you if you struggle with focus during prayer. Plan to pray at the right time of day. Profound, huh? I think there are actually a couple of ideas in that sentence. The first is that scheduling a time to pray is something that can really help. Now, I know you want to pray spontaneously. You want to be so in love with God that it's no problem at all for you to pray. And doesn't the Bible say that we should pray without ceasing? Yes, it does. But I think if we're honest, we would say, if we don't prioritize this activity of prayer by actually scheduling it, by actually committing a slice of our day to doing it, that more often than not, it's going to get crowded out. So when's the best time to pray? Well, there are different opinions about that. There are some who say that our time with the Lord should always take place in the morning. And those who say that might quote Psalm 5:3, where David prayed, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." Or they might quote Mark 1:35, which says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus prayed. You know who quotes verses like that? Morning people. Some time ago, I came across a poem entitled "A Psalm of Morning Devotion" by Nick Tavani Jr. "Early in the morning will I awake. With a song on my lips, I will greet thee. With a song will I muffle a thousand yawns. I will meet thee at dawn with great intention. Yea, with much forcefulness will I blink open mine eyes. Leap I from my bed with reluctance. Yet thou art with me. Thou fillest my sleepy head. Thou warmest my bod, which is surely chilled. Though my weary flesh sticketh to the bone, though I stretch it out with great sighing, still will I meet thee. In prayer will I greet thee. Lo, I shall kneel, even like a young child. I bend myself down in the bedchamber. My head I bow, yea, bow even unto my pillow. I closeth mine eyes to pray. I closeth mine eyes and promptly fall asleep. I'll try again tomorrow, Lord. Amen." You ever been there? Well, then how about praying at night? Because David did that as well. Psalm 141, verse 2 says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." And Christ's favorite time to pray was at night. There are passages that tell us that Jesus prayed all night long at times. I've tried praying at night. Actually, I pray every night. It's the last thing I do before I go to sleep. I turn out my light and I start to pray for my family. And it's literally a one-sentence prayer. Sometimes it's a half sentence. "Lord, I pray that tonight you will keep my fat." Ask Robin. Bad. Bad news. Man, I'm tired at night. I mean, after 9 o'clock, I'm basically worthless. I don't want to pray during that time of day. It's just not going to work. There's no best time for everyone. But there's probably a best time for you. There's a certain time of day when you are less likely to lose your focus than at other times. So my encouragement would be for you to experiment with your prayer times until you find that time when your energy is high, but your pace is slow. That's the bullseye. See, both of those factors are very important. If you're sluggish, your prayers are obviously going to suffer. But if you pray when your brain is going 100 miles an hour, you're going to be unable to really focus on the Lord. In my life, what I found works best for me is to pray. It's like the first thing I do before I work. It's usually after breakfast. I've had a cup of coffee. I'm oftentimes at my office, and that's because I'm not good at what I'm going to tell you next, by the way. But But what I want to do is I want to pray before I do anything else. And I will tell you this, that if I ever decide, well, I'll pray after I do this one thing, what happens is there's another thing waiting after that and something else after that, and I can go all the way through my whole day like that, telling myself I'm going to pray right after this. And maybe, just as a consolation prize, I'll like lift up these little tiny short prayers along the day, but I never get back to that time where I could actually devote any time to really talking to God. So unless prayer is the very first thing on my to-do list, I'm not likely to do it. To be honest, there's not really any time of the day when I can escape distractions altogether. So one thing that I'll do if I'm starting to feel distracted is maybe I'll grab some paper and I'll set it right down next to me. And if something comes up that seems like it's really urgent, I got to do it right now, rather than doing it, I'll write it down. And sometimes I'll have many things written down on this little list, like my later list. And that's the only thing that keeps me focused. So if you struggle with focus, just put down a piece of paper and say, okay, I'll do it right after I pray, not the other way around. So what's the best time of day for you to pray? When is your energy the highest? When is your pace the slowest? That's the right time for you. And if you will jealously protect that particular time of day, you will probably experience greater focus and greater fulfillment in your prayer life. So find the right time. And then here's number two. Choose the right place to pray. It's really important. Choose the right place to pray. Again, I want to say there's no wrong place to pray. Wherever you are, God is there. But if you're somebody who's prone to wander during prayer, then you have to choose a place with minimal distractions. It's very interesting to me that whenever the scriptures tell us where Jesus prayed, they do not identify places of beauty, but rather places of privacy. Matthew 14 says that Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and he was there alone. Mark 1 says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5 says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And do you remember where Jesus told his disciples to pray in the Sermon on the Mount? We just looked at this last week. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. That word room is sometimes translated closet. It refers to a room with no windows. Of course, the primary reason Jesus told us to pray in a room like that was to avoid the temptation to perform at prayer for others who might be watching, but that wasn't the reason why Jesus prayed in private. He did it to minimize distractions. Now, I am so easily distracted that you put me in anything but an empty cell, and I will find something else to think about. I'm amazed at how often my fingernails need to be clipped when I'm in prayer. I'm just praying, I look, I go, you know what, I need to get my little Swiss Army knife out and cut those things, and maybe there'll be a bug over there on the wall, and I can follow that bug all the way out. I mean, just whatever it's doing, I'll notice that. If my little email notification goes off, bing, I got to see who that is. I might need to respond to that email. Just, anything and everything distracts me, and so when I really, really want to get alone with God, I have to find a barren and private location. Over the years, I have taken days of prayer. You shouldn't be impressed by that. I get paid to do it, so it's different. It's different than you. But when I'm getting out of the office and spending a whole day in prayer, I say when I get out of the office, I try doing it in my office. It didn't work. Too many distractions. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the beach. And so I loved it there. I mean, it was so peaceful just to be out there with the ocean waves. In fact, there was this little coffee shop right at the top of a cliff that was overlooking the ocean. I could go in there and I got this fresh latte. There were these Adirondack chairs sitting there outside overlooking the beach. So I took my coffee out there, sat in my Adirondack chair, watched the waves, and I thoroughly enjoyed the whole day. I just didn't pray. It didn't work. Finally, I found a better solution, a Super 8 motel. It was ugly. It smelled bad. But it was the cheapest place I could find where I knew that I could be totally alone. So I went to this hotel. I went into my room. I got the TV remote. I brought it back out to the desk. I said, I won't be needing this. I went back into the room. I closed the door. I locked the door. I got down on my knees on that worn carpet. I placed my Bible on that floral polyester bedspread. And you know, I began to pray. And if I got distracted, there really wasn't anything else that I could do. Well, there was the bed, and I could take a nap, which I did from time to time, but I still, you know, woke back up and got to praying again. And I found that those times when I went to that terrible place were like the best times that I had in prayer, because I just was able to, you know, remove all of the distractions. Where's the most private place that you can pray? Maybe it is your office. Maybe it's behind the steering wheel of your car. Or maybe it's a room in your house. Maybe it's a closet. See, you're not looking for beauty. You're looking for privacy, because it's solitude that enhances focus. Okay, here's number three. Here's the third suggestion that I want to give to those of you whose minds are prone to wander. This has changed my life. Pray out loud. That's it. This third point, of course, presupposes the second. It's not a technique that I would recommend if you have your prayer times at a coffee shop. That could get a little strange. But if you can find a truly private place to pray, then you will have the freedom to pray out loud without worrying that someone else might hear. And I bet you that will help you stay on track. You know, verbal prayer is the most common type of prayer recorded in the Bible. Let me just show you a few examples from the book of Psalms. In Psalm 5, it says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice." Psalm 27, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord." Psalm 55, "Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." Psalm 142, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy." So it's perfectly normal and not at all insane to pray out loud. Honestly, if I'm not praying out loud, it's almost impossible for me to keep my focus. My brain is such a busy place that my mouth has to tell it what to think. And when I speak out loud to God, my brain, for whatever reason, is just focused on what I am saying. And so unless I'm in a situation where praying out loud is totally inappropriate, I use my voice, and it helps me tremendously. If you forget everything else and you just try that one thing, it will change your prayer life. But even if we, you know, find the perfect place to pray and the perfect time and the volumes turned up in our prayers, I think most of us still struggle at times with knowing what to say. That happens to me all the time. I sit down to pray and I'm committed to it. I'm right there. I'm in my place. I'm ready to talk to God. And then I think, what do I want to pray about? Maybe there's one or two hot items that I'll pray about, and then I'm like stuck. I don't know what else to pray. If you struggle like that, then let me encourage you to follow a mental map. Write that down. Follow a mental map. I want you to know that it's not unspiritual to structure your prayers. Spontaneity does not equal spirituality. And I want to share with you the mental map that I use almost every day when I pray. And I personally believe it's the very best one available. And I can say that because I didn't come up with it. Jesus did. If you have a Bible, this is the time to open it up. I want you to look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. It's page 725 if you have one of the church Bibles. When you get there, you will see that you're not the only one who feels inadequate when it comes to prayer. Luke 11 verse 1 says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So apparently there was something about the way that Jesus prayed that was attractive to the disciples. They wanted to be able to talk to God like Jesus did. And perhaps they struggle with prayer like many of us do. And so they humbled themselves and they asked for help. And Jesus was glad to give it to them. In verse 2, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Does that prayer sound familiar to you? Yeah, but it's a little different than the one that you've heard before, isn't it? And that's because most of us have memorized this prayer called the Lord's Prayer in a more traditional form, and most of us have memorized a different version of the prayer, not the one that's here in Luke 11, but the one that's back in Matthew chapter 6. And there, the prayer is a little bit longer. It's not just Father, but it's Our Father. Some of us have learned it this way, which art in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And then in Matthew, Jesus adds this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, debts, trespasses, whatever it is, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And then it's, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And then some of us also add these words at the end, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How many of you pretty much know that prayer by heart? Okay? See, you've already got the mental map you need. All you have to do is just remember that. And you've got it. It's a prayer that can be prayed word for word. Notice that Jesus says in verse 2 of Luke 11, when you pray, say this. But it's also an outline that Jesus wants us to follow when we pray. John MacArthur says it's not so much a prayer in itself as it is a skeleton which believers are to flesh out with their own words. It is not a substitute for our own prayers, but a guide for them. And the reason why I'm having us look at the Luke 11 version of the prayer instead of the Matthew 6 version is because it's just a little easier here in Luke 11 to see the structure of the prayer. It's easier to see that there are five basic sections. That's also true in the prayer in Matthew, but the additional words can kind of camouflage the structure. I don't care which one you use. You can use whichever version you want. But I want you to see that there are five basic requests that Jesus asks us to pray regularly. Actually, before we get to the request, look at the address. Father. That's actually a radical word. To call God Father, the Aramaic word that Jesus used was Abba. It actually is more informal than the word Father. It's more like Dad, like Papa, Daddy. It was a word that seemed almost blasphemous to Jews who had no trouble acknowledging the majesty and the awesomeness of God. But they would never think of addressing God so informally, so casually, so personally. But Jesus did, and that's how he taught us to pray. He says, when you pray, call God Father, Dad. And what does Jesus want us to pray to our dad about? Well, notice first of all, like these, what are they, pronouns in the thing? Notice what they are in each one. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Then give us each day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. You see that pattern there? It starts with talking to God about what matters most to him, and then it moves on to talking to him about stuff that matters to us. It's God first, then us. So we're to begin by praying, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means holy. The word holy means special, set apart. Some of us have two different sets of dishes. We have the everyday dishes, and we have the special dishes. The special dishes are set apart. They're in a cabinet. They're on a shelf that's high. And we never use those dishes unless it's a holiday, a holy day, a special day. It's only on the special days that we use the special dishes because they are, you know, they're only to be used on special occasions. They're holy. God is holy. He's special. He's different. And Jesus wants us to address him in that way. He wants us to pray that everybody will look at him like that. We live in this OMG world where God's name is thrown about so casually. It's taken in vain all the time. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, may your name be set apart. May it be special. May it be revered. May it be honored. May you receive the respect that you deserve. And so I have this all written out on my phone. And I have, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then right after that on my phone, it says, I worship you because. So when I'm praying that God's name would be thought of as special, I start with myself. It's like, I want to do that right now. And so I think of something that I want to tell him, that this is why you're special. Today, because we were taking Brian down to the airport later tonight, I just thought, thank God for all of these real tangible blessings, especially the blessing of my family, the way that God has showered me with so many different good gifts. And then each day I pray not only for him to be hallowed in my life, but also in my home. May my family think of you as special. Then I pray for our church. May the church that I pastor see God as somebody who deserves honor. And then I pray for our community. I pray that here in these communities that we talk about every week, that God's name would be thought of as special in this community. That's how I start my prayer each day. And then I move on to the second request, your kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, practically speaking, it means may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It's the rulership of God. His kingdom is wherever he is king, wherever people are obeying his word and doing his will. So the ultimate answer to this request is the return of Christ. And sometimes when I'm praying through the Lord's Prayer, that's exactly what I pray for. Lord, please come back soon and make the earth the home of righteousness. But Jesus taught us that there's both a future aspect and a present aspect of his kingdom. See, right now, while we are waiting for him to return, he is building his invisible kingdom spiritually in the lives of people. And so I pray, there's a lot of stuff that I have on this particular part of it. I pray that God will build his kingdom in me. I actually have a list of four or five things right now in my own life that I'm praying that God will do in me, to change me. And then I pray again for my family. May your kingdom come in and through Robin, and then Sean, my oldest, and his wife Kim, and then Brian and Kyle. And we have a boy with Compassion International in Rwanda that we support. His name is Eric Niansaba, and I pray that God's kingdom will be built in his life. And then I pray for our church staff. I did that this morning. I thought about all the different areas where they're going to be, and I prayed for them. I pray for our elders. I pray for our missionaries. I have four special people in my life that I pray for regularly: Steve, Glenn, Mel, and Mike. And they're always under here. And then I have my ones. You guys have been praying for your ones. Well, I've got ones. I've got 10 or 12 on my list right now. And so I go through that list. If I don't have the list in front of me, there's about 3, 4, 5 of them that I'm more fervently praying for right now. And I just pray for them. And then whatever these hot topics are that are just kind of going on right now, those are on that list as well. God, may your kingdom come. Do the stuff that you want to do in the lives of people I care about. And then I move on to section number 3. Give us today our daily bread. We're just praying for provision from God. I pray that God will provide for my family. It's an easy thing to do where we live. I mean, there are places in the world where praying that means, may I get some bread today. And I think about that when I pray. And sometimes I pray in a general way for those that are starving around the world. And I pray for protection for my family wherever we go. This is the part of the prayer where I pray through my daily schedule. I can look ahead at what I have scheduled that day, and I pray through each appointment that I have and for whatever surprises might come up. And then I have a list of people that have different physical needs, and I pray for them, those who are sick especially. So give us today our daily bread. Then forgive us our debts as we forgive those as we have forgiven our debtors. So I pray, I confess my sins I think through the last 24 hours or so, and I say, well, what have I done that I know is displeasing to God? And I pray specifically about that. And I claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And I always, when I'm doing that, I always say, and Lord, if there's anybody that I'm holding a grudge against, I forgive them as well. And sometimes people come to my mind. I've had some people that come to my mind every day for years. And day after day after day, I pray, God, I forgive that person. I forgive that person. I'm like, it's my will telling my heart what it has to do. And it's very clear in the passage that if we want to have a relationship with God that has no barriers there, we have to be forgiving toward others that have hurt us. And so I do that on a daily basis. And finally, I pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the prayer sometimes says the evil one. So some people pray that they would be protected from the devil. I pray more broadly than that because I know there are more sources of evil than that. I start with myself. I pray that my flesh will not be able to control me in any way, that God would deliver me from whatever my flesh wants me to do. I pray that he would deliver me from the world, from the parts of this world that we live in that are anti-God. I pray about evil people that may come into my life, that God would protect me from them. And then I pray that he would protect me from evil spirits. And then at the end of that time, I offer my body to God. I'm just usually at the beginning of the day. I say, God, I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. May it be holy and pleasing to you. And I offer the parts of my body to you as instruments of righteousness. And so then I go through that. I've told you this before, where I go through all the different parts of my body and I offer each part of my body to him and ask him to use my body in the same way that Jesus used his. And that right there is my prayer life in a nutshell. I'm sorry if that sounded lengthy. I'm just trying to be as practical as I can be, and you may do it very differently. That's totally fine. I'm just trying to encourage you to kind of hang your prayer requests on these five hooks that Jesus gave us. It'll just help us with focus. And I'll say to you that I've not always prayed like this. Actually, I grew up in a liturgical tradition, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer every Sunday in church. And when I became a follower of Jesus at the age of 20, I ran away from all that stuff as fast as I could. I thought, that's not sincere at all for me just to pray through some memorized prayer, and I wanted it to be much more spontaneous. It didn't actually work much better. But I didn't really get back to the Lord's Prayer until several years ago when I was counseling this young man who had had a severe anxiety attack, and man, did it mess him up. It debilitated him so much that he had this chemical imbalance in his brain. He struggled with racing thoughts. He actually couldn't even speak very well. He spoke in these little choppy chunks of words, to complete a sentence. And one of the things that he said to me during that time in his life is he said that he got to where he could only pray the Lord's Prayer. He couldn't even add anything to it. It was everything he had just to be able to pray those words. And he talked to me in these little choppy sentences about what a blessing that was in his life. And I thought, I haven't done that for a long time. I need to try that again. And ever since that time, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer, and it's changed my prayer life more than anything else. It certainly helped me to keep from wandering. If you're somebody who's prone to wander when you pray, I wonder if you'd just be willing to try these basic things. Maybe you could do this every day for the next 6 days. Maybe start some new habits. Would you be willing to put a brief prayer time into your schedule and to protect that time? A time when your energy is high but your pace is slow. Would you find an ideal private place to pray, a place where you can shut out distractions and just focus on God? Would you experiment with praying out loud? If full volume is a stretch for you, maybe you could just try whispering. And would you every day for the next week just use the Lord's Prayer as your mental map? Hang your requests on those five requests that Jesus told his followers to pray. Let's start right now. Those of you who have memorized this prayer before, the Lord's Prayer, you're probably going to be able to say it out loud just about the same way that I learned it. Pray this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.